feel at home in this world anymore. Well, the angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. We're playing musical chair. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank y'all for greeting one another to the house of the Lord. It's like Brother Douglas said, I was glad. I'm glad I woke up this morning. You don't know how close I was to not waking up this morning. You don't know how close you were to not waking up this morning. That'd be all right to wake up there. That's, don't get me wrong, but I'm glad y'all got to see me one more day. Thank the Lord. I tell you, I was bush hogging yesterday up at the Deer Lease there, and you know, you got to learn to listen to that little voice. I'm telling you, I may not be here, I may be in the hospital, I don't know, but I was getting ready to bush hog, and I, you know, you got the earmuffs, you got sunglasses on, you got the mask on. It's like, and I bought some of these little things you just put in your ear, you know, you just kind of cushiony things, you right, put them in your ear. And I like those. And so I had some, and I got ready. I got the package, and I started to rip it open. And that little voice said, you better wear them head things. It's for hard construction. So I listened. I said, I put that back up. Boy, little did I know, God knew what he was doing. I didn't see that limb coming. That thing cold cocked me on the side. I'm telling you, come around there. You know what I'm talking about. You're running a tractor. You don't see. And it hit me so hard, but it hit right on that right there. It bruised my ear, put me a stripe here, knocked that thing about 15 feet, me about 3. I said, immediately, not too bad. Immediately, I said, thank you, Jesus. I remember listening to that little voice that said, don't wear that little cushiony thing. You may need more than that today. Hallelujah. Let's be sensitive to the voice of God. Thank God. Ezra chapter 10, verse 7, you're visiting with us today. We are fishermen of men, and I want to get in your boat and throw out the anchor. I want to tie up to a stump or something so you don't leave. I want you to come back here and worship the Lord and find this to be a great place to not only worship the Lord, but raise your family. Praise the name of the Lord. As you heard, Brother Gidrow said, there's 95 or so. We always got something going on around here, something bound to please you. Ezra 10 and 7, and they made proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem unto all the children of captivity. They had gone, you know, the children of Israel had been in Babylonian captivity, so Ezra wanted to restore some things. So he made a proclamation to all the children of captivity that they should gather themselves together unto Jerusalem. It was, hear ye, meet in Jerusalem. And that whosoever would not come within 3 days, according to the counsel of the princes and the elders, all of his substance would be forfeited, and himself separated from the congregation of those that had been carried away. We're not going to let you be part of us, and all the stuff that you've got is forfeited. You give it up, and we alienate you. Now watch Luke chapter 14, verse 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciples. For which of you, now he compares this to this analogy, which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build, but was not able to finish. I want to talk to you this morning from my heart. Amen. The reason I'm preaching this to you, because this is all God gave me. Amen. The forfeit and the finish. The forfeit and the finish. Lord, I come before you this morning. I know, hallelujah, without a shadow of a doubt, that I am lips of clay. Hallelujah, I am mortal man. But with your spirit and with the anointing, you can take what little I am, what little they are, what little David was, what little anybody is, and put your anointing inside of them, God. And little is much, hallelujah, when God is in it. And we ask you today to be in this sermon, be in this message, be in these hearts, be in these minds, God, and broaden it so that they can hear and understand the word of the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The forfeit and the finish. To forfeit means to give up your ability to participate. Right? To give up your ability to participate. And in so doing that you lose all your prior gains. You forfeit. You doesn't matter where you're at. When you forfeit, you forfeit. And how many of you, I'm sure you've been reading the Major League Baseball rule book lately. How many of you know what rule 2.00 is in Major League Baseball? What is it? Yeah, you said something. No? Yeah, it has to be with the forfeiting of the game. That's exactly right. That's a good deduction, I guess you'd say. Rule 2.00 in Major League Baseball states that in the event of a forfeiture, that the game score shall be recorded 9-0. Yeah. The forfeiting team will always be given the zero, no matter if they were winning the game. Mm-hmm. And the other team will be credited a 9 because there is 9 innings in the baseball game. Other teams have the same analogy. If there's 7 innings, then it's 7-0. If there's 5 innings, there's 5-0. And the one that forfeits, though you may be winning 15-0, if you forfeit, you get a 0. And the other team gets the 9. Forfeiting is very costly. And do you know what they say? The number one reason for forfeiting? Disputes. Disputes. I quit because I can't get along. People forfeit because they can't get along. I quit because I can't get along. And when you quit, you may be one, but because you quit, do you see that? It's goose egg. Double goose eggs. Nada. Nothing. Because you decided to quit. My, finishing is more important than forfeiting. Forfeiting, you lose the game. Now, the statistics, they say, stays. So that if Johnny Bench hits a grand slam home run and 4 runs are scored, then and he stole 3 bases, that stands, but he lost the game. I'm going to show you something. The foundation's still there, but he lost the tower. He lost the game. And so the statistics of all this is great, but the problem is you lost the game. The most important thing is not the statistics. The most important thing is winning. It is finishing. Finishing. Finishing is a form of winning. Did you know that? Finishing is a form. I just finished. When you go to hand your transcript to someone, they don't say, "What'd you score on that test?" They don't really care what you scored. The most important thing is that you finished. You finished. And somehow, I think in the gospel message, we have preached an untruth to people that if you don't finish first, you lost. Oh, come on. Come on. I've been in churches that if you didn't... then you're not going to make it. You can't be saved. We have preached that if you don't finish first, you can't be saved. But that is not the truth. It's not the truth at all. Hallelujah. The most important thing is finishing. And in our text, this high priest named Ezra has a burden to go back and restore what Israel has lost. Israel has married up with unbelievers. They have married up with strange wives, and they're now serving strange gods. And anytime you mix yourself back up with the world, you're going to get messed up. You're going to get messed up. Your kids are going to get messed up. And the next generation gets messed up. It's a perpetual thing. And so Ezra has this burden to go back and gather everybody back to the place where it should have started in the first place. And the wall should still be up. Meet me in Jerusalem in 3 days. Hear ye, hear ye. I'll see you in Jerusalem in 3 days. And if you don't show up, we take your stuff. And if you don't show up, you're not part of us that was in captivity. You forfeit. Zero. Nothing. We don't even, who are you? Just show up. He's not asking you to even right here to carry a cross or to lay a brick or let's rebuild the wall. What can you do? He just said, show up. How many sermons have you forfeited by not? How many times your life could have been changed, but you just didn't? Sometimes it's one word, one verse out of the Bible, but you weren't there to hear it. And when you're not there to hear it, you forfeit it. You forfeit it so that it is of none effect to you. And that's what Paul said, the preaching of the gospel to us, it is the power of Christ. But to them, nothing. They forfeited the power of Christ. So Ezra is inspired to rebuild what has been broken down. And he makes this proclamation, and I claim to you to this morning, every time the word of the Lord goes out, you need to show up. And if you can't be here, get the CD or something. There may be one word. So many times people come to me and they say, Brother Baggett, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about such and such. I said, that I preached that sermon on, but you weren't, and you forfeited it. Okay. Salvation is not as much about perfection as it is finishing without forfeiting. Faithfulness is more important than perfection. Abraham was faithful and it counted for what? Righteousness. Faithfulness. Amen. Faithfulness is finishing. Paul said, he said, when he was getting ready to go, he writes his last letter to Timothy. He said, I was perfect. No, that's not what he said. He said, I was splendored. I was magnificent. No. He said, I fought a good fight. Wasn't a perfect fight. Made some mistakes. One time he said, I speak as a fool. But I fought a good fight. And I did what? Faithful. I kept the faith. Hallelujah. No, there's some times I really wanted to quit. They beat me with rods. I was shipwrecked and all these kind of things. But I decided nothing's going to separate me from the love of Christ. Not the things present, not the things past, not the things in the future. Nothing, principalities or powers, things present or things to come shall separate me from the love of Christ. I'm going to be faithful to that love because that love was faithful to me. It's just a reciprocating love. That's all it is. Hallelujah. It's easy to love those that love you. And Christ, as Brother Valentine said, loved us when I was yet a sinner. He loved me. Hallelujah. I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. On Judgment Day, okay, Judgment Day, he's going to separate the goats and the sheep, right? And to the goats and all, he says, I never knew you. Depart from me. I never knew you. But to the sheep, to those that will enter in, he said, enter thou in, thou perfect. That's right. Thou good and, same thing Paul said, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over everything. A few things. I will make you ruler over many things. And so somehow we've got it in our mind, well, I just can't do it, so I quit. And when you quit, you forfeit and you lose everything, everything. Let's look at what Paul said in Corinthians 9 and 23. And this I do for the gospel's sake. Do you know there's a lot of things that you do? He said many times, I do this for Christ's sake. I do it for your sake. But Jesus said, I'll show him what persecution he must take for my name's sake. There's a lot of things, you know, I do for somebody else's sake, for my wife's sake, for my kid's sake, for your sake. I do those things. Because why? Christ did it for my sake. And we ought to reciprocate that. So he said, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. I'm not asking you to do anything that I'm not doing with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? We all are running. But one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. Now, so many times people quit. Oh, they beat me. Oh, I might as well quit. And when you quit, you forfeit. You forfeit. And then you become a loser. And every man that striveth for mastery, anybody trying to get better at something? Anybody? Surely you ought to be trying to get better at something. Come on. Every man, he said, that striveth for mastery is temperate in some thing, in the things he likes, in things he wants to be patient. No, if you're striving to perfect or to master anything, you have to be temperate in all things. Do you know what tempered steel is? Anybody know what tempered steel? Tempered glass, you know what that is? Yeah. Do you know why they call it temperate? It's been through the fire. It's been tested. It's the opposite of what the scripture says, quench not the spirit. Okay. When you look at how they make branding irons and tools, they put them in a hot, hot, hot fire. And when they get them out, and while they're hot, bam, they're beating them. And then they bench cool them. They don't go, shh, unless they want to beat it some more. And as long as they want to beat it, they go, shh. And when they go, shh, it freezes all of the elements in there, and they're in disarray, and they're not connected like they should be, so they're easy to beat. But when they finally get it to the way they want it to be, they bench cool it. You ought to know that, brother. They don't, they bench cool it. So that tempered glass and tempered steel is tempered in all things. It can take all things because it's been through all things. And I'm here to tell you that if you're going to master anything in your life, you have to be temperate. What does temperate mean? Patient, understanding, work with the situation. Hallelujah, in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but us an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. That's the definition of a treadmill right there. I'm not just running in place and sweating and not going anywhere. Hallelujah. I know why I'm running. Now he said only one going to get the prize. And he said, you should run like it's going to be me. You should have the intent in your heart. When the Boston Marathon takes off, I just might win today. In your heart, you know you might not win. But you know what? You got to have the mindset that I may not win, but I'm going to, there you go, I'm going to finish. So that I can wear the t-shirt too that says, I finished the Boston Marathon. I may not have won. I may not have broke the ribbon. The flags didn't come out and the cheerleaders didn't come out. But Lord, I did finish. Hallelujah. That's because if I quit, I forfeit the race. And if I forfeit the race, I can't even wear the t-shirt. Oh, Lord, am I helping anybody? But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should forfeit. I've seen preachers forfeit. I should be a castaway is what he said. Castaway means nothing. Throw it away. I've seen saints forfeit. I've seen singers forfeit. I've seen Sunday school teachers forfeit. And when you forfeit, you lose everything. My. So he says to us that running is a race and not a chase. Too many people are in a chase. And when they see someone else where they would like to be, well, I must be nice, you know. And they get these things in their heart against somebody else, and they quit the race because they were in a chase. We don't chase each other. He said, to compare yourselves among yourselves is not wise. I am in a race, and I'm going to run my race with patience. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset you, and run this race with patience. Clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Run it with patience. Now, I want to go back to our text this morning, because in Luke 14 and 27, because Paul goes on to tell us in his other writings that he forfeited the world to win Christ. Okay, he said he was somebody in the world. He said he studied at the feet of Gamaliel. He was only going to be on the Sanhedrin court. I mean, he was going to go places in this world. But he said, everything I gained in the world, I forfeited. He said, I count it as dung. That's a zero. It's waste. He said, I count that I might, help me. I give that up that I might win Christ. I forfeit that I might finish this. Because if I forfeit this, then I go to this. But if I give this up, he that seeks to save his life shall lose it, but he that loses his life shall save it. So he's saying, I will forfeit this, being somebody in the world, that I might be somebody in Christ. Because I can't be somebody in the world and be somebody in Christ too. You see? So what we're doing, it's not a game. What it is a strategy to be saved. I've got to give up the world, forfeit, and count it all as loss. He said, everything I've done in the world is a waste. It's zero. Why? Because I forfeited. You need to forfeit the world. You need to give up the world, get out of the world while you can, and say, hey, I've made some mistakes along life's way, but I don't want to keep making the same mistake, so I forfeit. I quit. Don't call me anymore. Matter of fact, I'm going to delete you off my list. Don't call me anymore. And you too. Hallelujah. There's some things in life you must forfeit to win Christ, because you cannot win him and win them too. Are you with me? All right. So Luke 4 and 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, how do you carry a cross? You know, of course, he's not really talking about a splintery old cross, but that's what he's comparing it to. What's the best way to carry a cross? Does anybody know? I mean, do you take your cross and you throw it? Is that the best way to carry a cross? Or is this the best way to carry a cross? How do you carry a cross? What I'm trying to tell you is there's no perfect way to carry a cross. The way I carry my cross it may not be the way you carry your cross. The way I deal with my problems may not be the way you deal with your problem. But I do want to finish. We both got to carry the cross. Even Christ didn't carry his cross the whole way. Someone else helped him carry his cross. Right? And so it is. You and I need each other. Help me a little while to carry my cross, because it's getting heavy. I'm getting weary and I'm getting tired. And the main thing is finishing. It's not how you carry the cross. It's that you carry it all the way. He said, except you take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Now, he compares that to this. And here's where the message is. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. Lest haply, after he had laid the foundation, he's not able. His intentions are still good, but he's not able to finish it. He forfeits. And all that behold it begin to mock. The statistics are still there. The foundation's still there. It's still stubbed out with the pipes. It's all the statistics are still there, but it's forfeited. It's a loss. You can't